part one more time. Bind us together, Lord, bind us together with cord that cannot be broken. Bind us together, Lord, bind us together, Lord, bind us together in love. Turn to 464. God sent his son, they called him Jesus. He came to love, heal and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior. I gave you the wrong number now. I knew that. 719. is the greatest commands. That's going to be the other one. No?
Yeah?
448.
Thank you. 448? Okay. Screwed that one up! So, 71 is what we'll do now. 448 is the next one. Okay. 71.
As the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long and I long to worship you.
Oh, God.
is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God, and knoweth God. He that loveth God knoweth not God, for God is love. Beloved, let us love one another. 1 John 4:7 and 8. Number 15, if you don't know the words, this is kind of our scripture that will be part of our lesson today. Beloved, let us love one another.
Accepting others for who they are and allowing ourselves to be changed in the process. So love holds us together, grafted by faith into the one true Christ, whose example compels us to love one another.
So our theme for the next several weeks is going to be the one another's. And we're going to be talking a lot about what it is today to love one another. I was so blessed as I was sharing some with some of you all in class this morning that over the weekend we were able to adopt Malachi. And that's just such an exciting time for us. And we're so happy that God has blessed us with that and that we've been blessed with a church family that embraces that with us and that is not fearful of us having so many children. And the fear that we may keep on doing it, I think that's Nova's fear. But as we have 7 now, she thinks that's a good biblical number to stop at. I point out that, you know, there are special men in the Bible that had 12 and 13, but I think we may be done for at least a month or two, and we'll kind of see from there. But as we were able to, we adopted Malachi on Friday, and Saturday morning before we came home, one of the traditions that we have done, that Nova's done since she was a small child, is go to Pioneer Days at the parade in her little town of Skytook. And they close down the main drag of the town, and they do something that in my mind, is just not right. But they close off this busy road, and then they run the parade through it, and while they're doing the parade, they throw candy out on the street so that the small children can run out on the road where the cars are to get candy. I'm not for sure if that's what we really want to teach our kids, but my kids came home with bags full of candy. And as we were watching it, I saw the strangest thing. And I know we're in small town America in Oklahoma, where there's a lot of agriculture and a lot of stuff going on. But I look and I found myself saying these words, and I thought I would never say them to my little boy as I'm sitting there and I go, "Hey, look at all those chickens." Because they had taken and made a little caravan of rolling wagons that had chickens in each one of them driving down, just individual chickens. Weirdest thing I've ever seen. I don't know if that's what it's like here for your big parades, but wow, that is something else. You know, it's really something to be able to love someone, isn't it? I mean, I really love my wife and I love my children. I love the blessings that we've been able to have. But when we say the words love, what does that mean? In our society today, a lot of times love means like an emotional thing. You know, real love is whenever you do things like snoop on people on Facebook and kind of see what they're really like, or maybe you stalk them at their home a little bit. And isn't that what real love is? I mean, ask our teenagers and our young professionals if they've ever started the idea of dating someone, and if they didn't go online and find out everything about them to see if they could be in love with them. And even worse is once we're in love, we want to know everything going on with these people to make sure that they're all on the up and up. Because we emotionally just can't handle that. That's not the kind of love we're going to talk about today. The kind of love we're going to talk about today is found in the scriptures in John 13. When the scriptures say, "A new command I give to you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." Now, I underlined a couple words there, because normally when we talk about love, we talk about the fairy tales and the butterflies and the flowers and the googlies and all that stuff. But all of a sudden, when Jesus throws it out, his third word is a new... Say it with me, church. A new what? Hold on. I didn't hear that. A new what? Whoa, hold on. Love's a feeling, right? Not according to Jesus. Love is a command. What does that mean? You know what that means, don't you? There's a difference between like and love. There's a difference between my heart just feels so full and love. Because Jesus says, no, this is the command that I give to you. If you're going to be my disciples, if you're going to follow me, if you're going to be my church, you will love each other. Not if you like it, not if it feels good, not when it's convenient. He says, no. You will love each other. I command this. When somebody gives you a command, you've got two options. Am I right on this, teenagers? Can you help me out with this? Your parents give you a command. They don't really want to call it a command, but you know it's a command, right? So, what are your two options on a command? You can either do it or not do it. Guess what, church? Jesus gives you a command. You can either do it and be his disciples, or you cannot and not. My mom used to have this phrase in our house. This is my house. You will do this if you would like to stay in my house. That's love. That's tough love, but it's love, right? Now, you got to imagine this woman about 5'4". This 6'5" guy, and she's like, "No, you're going to do it, or else." But I knew my mama loved me. And Jesus says in this, as we read it, he says, "Love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another." You must do this. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples. Now, I want you to catch that. He didn't say, everybody will know that you acknowledge that I'm Jesus. He didn't say, everybody will know that you've been following and go to church sometimes, because there is a difference. He said, you will know, they will know that when they see you and what you do, that you are my disciples. You are my intense followers. There are a lot of people that follow Jesus around. 5,000. 2,000 men at a time, women, children, people walking around. And how many times has he talked and did things, did they turn around and walk away? Oh, there were a lot of people that followed him around. But there were very few that were dedicated disciples. And he says, if you want to be a part of my world, if you want to have what I have, if you want to be a part of my work and my mission, if you want to be a part of my church, you will love each other. You don't have to like each other. You don't have to have things in common. You don't have to go for the same team. You don't have to like the same food. You don't need to live in the same neighborhood. But when you're in this church, you will love each other. Because if you do not love each other, the world that we are in and the Council Bluffs and the area around here will see this church as not as my people, because you can't even love each other. He says, this is not an option as of a thing that maybe to do. This is a must. Have you been watching online at all? This really cool phenomenon happened in Russia here not too long ago. Domino's Pizza got this incredible idea. Here's their idea. You put a permanent tattoo on your body of our logo, and we'll give you pizza for life. Sounds great, right? They're thinking, well, probably some people will do it, whatever. It started going viral. They got scared because so many people were putting tattoos on their body to get free pizza. So they had to adjust it. They adjusted to the first 100 tattoos, get 100 pizzas a year for 100 years. 100, 100, 100. There's a difference in somebody that is kind of like boy, I sure would like to have pizza, and somebody that goes, you know what? I love Domino's. I'm not going to call to have them fix my pothole. I'm going to tattoo it right there on my arm. That's good stuff, right? You know, there's a dedication factor that goes on. And I don't know about you guys, but wouldn't it be so much easier as Christians if all I had to do is put on a tattoo and I got everything? Wouldn't that be so much easier? Wouldn't it be great if Jesus said, hey, you know what? Just put a cross tattoo on your chest. You're good. You can walk around. People can see it when you're in your swimsuit or whatever. You're good. You're like, yeah, Christian. Right? I don't talk to anybody else nice. I don't do anything nice. I cut you off on the road and everything else, but right here. Saved. Bam. Right there. Wouldn't that be so much easier? Instead, Jesus goes, no. Here's what I need for you to do. I want you to love each other. Seriously? Come on. Who are the hardest people to love? Your family. Right? They're the hardest ones to love. You love them, but they drive you up the wall. They drive you crazy. But you figured out how to love them. Because love is not an emotion. Love is a dedicated factor of something that you do. I love what Tony Evans says. His quote that I found was, biblical love is a decision to compassionately and righteously seek the well-being of another. I want you to think about that. Biblical love is a decision to compassionately and righteously seek the well-being of another. It's me intentionally looking at you even if I don't get along with you at all. Even if you've gossiped about me. Even if you took my seat on Sunday morning. Even if you showed up late and my kids need to be in Bible class and they made me go crazy. My job, biblical love, is to compassionately love you. Because I don't care what you're going to do for me. I'm not doing it for my return. I'm doing it for God's glory. And it's not about me and you. It's not at all about me and you. It's wonderful if you and I can get along. And it's even better if we can really love each other and it works really smooth. But even if it doesn't, even if you're the person that is grouchy and cantankerous and you don't like that my kids are running around the auditorium and I saw you try to chirp them with your cane the other day, I still love you. You know why? Because there's a world out there that has no clue what real love is. And Jesus says, let's show them what real love is. Let's show them what real love is. Let's show them what a church is like that can have people of different races and creeds and locations of life starting out, different financial spaces, different growings up, and we can all come together and we can love each other. That's what God wants. Well, let me tell you something. Loving one another can be tiring. It's tough. We talked about it in class today. Doing the right thing when we're tired is tough. Loving your brother or sister whenever you're getting no love back is tough. But I want you to see what Galatians says. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have the opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. I'm going to be doing good to everyone, but you all have first rights. Man, I'm going to be good to my neighbor next door to me, but it's going to pale in comparison to what I'm going to do for you. Because you're my brother and sister in Christ. We're family. And family takes care of family. And when we go through this series, we start doing this one another's. Part of what we have to do as a church is understand that when we love one another, it is an action. It is a movement. It is something that we do. It's exciting. It's something that can change the whole dynamic of the entire church. You get a bunch of people that start loving on each other, people want to come here. People want to see what's going on. You start finding yourself wanting to actually come to church sometimes whenever you didn't always feel like coming all the time. You start finding yourself in a situation where you look forward to being with the brotherhood on Sundays and on Wednesdays, and whenever you hear we got a game night on Friday night, you can't hardly wait to get there because you know that you're going to be loved on. I love that my kids' happiest days of the week are Sundays and Wednesdays. That's all I need to know about our church. Is that when my babies go, is it Sunday yet? Is it church time yet? Is it Wednesday night yet? Can we go to Mr. Bill's? Can we go over here? Can we go see so-and-so? And it's all they want to do is be with you. Because they know that they're loved. And my hope and my prayer is that as we work together, that you know that I love you. And it may not be an emotional kind of love that maybe you're drawn towards, but it is a genuine, heartfelt love for you. Because you are my brother and sister. And even if you can never reciprocate that with me, you will know that I will still love you. Because somebody loved me so much that I just can't help but loving you. It's in everything that I am. As we look at it, another thing that we find out is this. Loving one another is loving God. I mean, think about it. When you love me and I love you, it's my way of loving God. It's my one tangible way that I can see, that I can touch, that I can feel, that I can love God. Look at what it says in 1 John. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. The only way that I can know God is by loving you. I'm never going to have a deep relationship with God if I can't love you. So, no matter how difficult I may be for you to swallow, if you want to love God, and you want a relationship with God, guess what? You got to love me. You don't have to like me. You don't have to hang out with me. You don't have to have slumber parties, baking sessions, or anything else. But you got to love me. Because if you can't love me, you can't love God. Man, that changes everything, doesn't it? When you look around this room, you think to yourself, yep, love them. Yep, love them. Yep, love them. Right? It's our job. It's who we are. You will find happiness the more that you can learn to love. The more you shower those blessings of love on other people, the more happiness you will find. Because you will find yourself growing closer and closer to God. And it is contagious, and it changes things. And guess what? It's rewarding. Hebrews 6:10-12 says, God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him as you have helped his people and continue to help them. We want each of you to show the same diligence that to the very end, so that what you hope for may be fully realized. We do not want any of you to become lazy, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. We can't get lazy. Love is work. It takes time. It takes efforts. Sometimes it takes funds. It may take a little money. Because sometimes what people need are things that are physical needs. They need a meal. They need some new clothes. They need some help getting places. They need some help fixing things. But that's how we love. I love the story about a guy by the name of Russell Herrmann. Russell died in 1994, and in his will, he decided that he was going to really make a difference in the world. And so I want to read for you the way that he laid out his will and what he left for him, his friends, his community, and everything else. Russell Herrmann died in 1994. His will included a staggering set of bequests. It included a plan for distribution of more than $2 billion for the city of East St. Louis, another $1.5 billion for the state of Illinois, $2.5 billion for the National Forest System, and to top off the list, Herrmann left $6 trillion to the government to help pay off the national debt. Wow. Sounds amazing, doesn't it? The only problem is, whenever they got done reading the will and they looked at his assets, the only thing Russell Herrmann had was an 83 Oldsmobile. It was great. I mean, he laid it all out there. He was giving like there was no tomorrow. He was loving on people like there was nothing else to it. The problem was, it meant nothing because he really did nothing. Church, we don't want to be a people who talk a good game but don't even play the game. Man, we don't want to be the fair-weathered fan that when things are good, we dress up a little bit, we buy a shirt from Hy-Vee and we wear it on a certain Saturday. And when things aren't going good, we take it, we put it back in our closet, and we hide it. They're like, some of us probably need to, but we want to be the fanatics for Christ. That our love is not conditional when things are going good. Our love is not just in words on a piece of paper. But we are fanatical. We're the ones, like I got a friend of mine who is a diehard Tulsa University fan. And when they are horrible, he is still a diehard Tulsa University fan. He went to the game yesterday. He dressed up as Captain Hurricane. He's 6'7". He's a policeman. He's a very big man. He makes me feel small. very buff, huge, works on the north side of Tulsa, tough dude. He's got on a blue and yellow wig that spikes up like this. He's got his face painted. He's got a cape on. He's got spandex with shorts and a t-shirt. And he is Captain Hurricane for the Tulsa Golden Hurricanes. And they get trounced every week. And he and his family are the only ones that even sit in this end zone. So whenever they have, like, ESPN comes over when they're playing a big team, you'll see his family and him. But it does not stop him because he is dedicated and he loves his team. And he doesn't care what other people think about it. He's still going to love that team. And that's the kind of faith and love that we need to have for Christ and for this team that sits in this building and for his body of believers, that we do not care what the world says. We don't care if the world thinks it's crazy what we're doing. We don't care if the world doesn't understand what we're doing. We are not going to stop loving each other. We're not going to stop doing the right thing. We're not going to stop being good to each other, even when we don't need to treat each other right. Because we are fanatical. Because we are so much in love with our Jesus Christ and what he's done for us that we cannot help but let it just ooze out of every single bit of who we are. And when we can get to that point, when we can love one another like that, then the next one another's we're going to be talking about the next several weeks are just falling into place. Because the most important thing that we can do, the greatest commands are what? Love one another. Love one another. Love one another. If you're here this morning and you're looking for a love like that and you've not found it, I'm telling you, this is the place to find it. Maybe you haven't had it in the past. Maybe you've still got a little bit of hang-ups with somebody over here. Maybe it's time for you to go, you know what? I'm going to step it up, and I'm going to love them today. I'm going to genuinely love them today. And I'm going to love them tomorrow, and I'm going to love them next week. I'm going to love them because Jesus loved me, and I'm going to love them because the world needs to see my Jesus. And I'm dedicating to do that. If you've never given your life for Christ and you want to become part of this loving environment, this love that was so genuine and so pure that it was able to save your soul because of his love for you, then let us help you with that. If we can help you in either way, please come forward as we stand and sing.